Hey everybody, welcome to Real Time with the Russos again, doing our second episode here. I got a lot lined up for you today. First off, I want to welcome up my man Rob Crabtree from No BS, another great podcast about sports, but he's coming to join us as he saw Toy Story 4 this weekend. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, what up, Russo? What's going on, man? I'm doing all right, man. How are you and the beautiful wife?
We are doing very great. Good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Good.
It's nice to informally meet Mrs. Russo. You know, I've never met you personally, but I hear a lot about you.
Yeah. So me and Rob met up through 2K. A couple of my work friends playing. He's from Missouri. And we've all been playing together where some of my friends from UPS moved from Missouri, and that's how I know Rob. And like I said, he does a podcast called No BS. It's all about sports. It's a great podcast. I do recommend listening to it. It's really good if you're into sports.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Of course, man. No problem. I listen to it every week. So
we appreciate the support, man. I'm glad I could, we try to show you some love too, man. So we'll be sure to return the favor and let everybody know about what you're doing as well.
I appreciate that. So like I said, we went and saw Toy Story 4. Starring Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and Keanu Reeves as the three main characters, or people you'll know doing the voiceover work, and then Andy Potts, Tony Hale, and Don Rickles, which, for y'all that don't know, Don Rickles had passed away, and everything that he did in this movie was all previously recorded.
Yeah, it was all archived.
Which I didn't know that.
No, you're breaking up. You still there? Rob? Rob, you lost you. Can you hear us? All right, we seem to lost Rob for a second. Hopefully we can get him back. But so go ahead and tell us, like we were saying, Don Rickles had passed away 2 years before this movie and put all his stuff was archived and edited and cut in. So,
which he plays Mr. Potato Head, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know. So they had to use old voice recordings, I guess, and snippets from old movies, from the other Toy Story movies to make up his part this time. So Don Rickles, obviously a very famous, legendary comedian, will be greatly missed, but we get to at least hear him one more time in Toy Story. So what did you think of the movie, babe?
Obviously, Toy Story has become a classic, kind of in our generation. It was one of the first Pixar movies.
Yeah.
Not sure exactly where it ranks on there, what number order it was, but obviously the fourth one, it was great. Like, there's no... Even being older adult, it was still amazing. Rob, you there with us now?
Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you now.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know what happened there. But as I was saying, when you guys were talking about it, I actually did not know that the voice of Mr. Potato had passed away. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't really know who all the actors were outside of Tom Hanks and Tim Allen. So, but I saw that, you know, like you just pointed on, like they had enough recording of over the years that they were able to, that the family actually pushed to have him part of the movie.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I really liked it. So like I was saying, I really enjoyed it. Pretty emotional, had me tearing up a couple times, not going to lie. It was also just, I mean, a great way of showing how kids can express themselves through different things sometimes in different art forms. Sometimes that takes place as a toy or making something that they gain their courage or their outgoingness. Sometimes it comes in all different forms for kids.
Yep.
And I think recognizing that as a parent is a big key in a kid's life, is like, hey, how does my kid respond to certain stuff? And I think that movie kind of helps you recognize that. And even though obviously toys don't come to life, how big of a part they can play in a kid's life. It was a really great movie, in my opinion. I really liked it. What about you, Miss Laura, my beautiful wife?
Well, I mean, the Toy Story movie, it definitely lives up to the franchise for sure. Had me tearing up at times as well, and also just absolutely cracking up at the music of all the different great characters. And like, honestly, think about all the different cast members they have in this movie. For it being an animated movie, it's got an absolute powerhouse cast. I mean, Keanu Reeves plays a great new character called Duke Kaboom, which is, I guess, can't answer to Evil Knievel, failed stuntman toy, who, you know, gets his, redemption story, I guess, in this one. And Andy Pond plays is Bo Peep, who makes a return in this movie as well. A great character. Has definitely grown a lot because we didn't get to see that much of Bo Peep in previous movies. That focused on being Buzz, and then Jess, she came in. But Bo Peep has a huge role in this movie and helps Woody grow as a toy, which is pretty cool. What'd your kids think of it, Rob? Did we lose you again, man?
All right, so Rob, you there, buddy? All right, so we might have lost Rob again. If he comes back, we'll get his thoughts on the movies. As far as us, I'm pretty sure we'll definitely go see it in theaters. If you haven't already seen it, I'm sure this was a big box office smash. So obviously with us not getting to preview movies, a lot of people have probably already seen this, but it is worth seeing in theaters.
Rob, can you hear me right now?
Yep, I can hear you now, buddy.
All right, man, I don't know what's going on, man.
Get your thoughts on the movie real quick. What do you think?
So I had a lot of emotions. So first off, you know, you guys touched on how Disney usually has a lot of good messages for kids and stuff like that. Like speaking as a father myself, I like taking my 7-year-old son to go see movies like this because there is always some sort of like some message that you can teach your kid and something that they can learn from. You know, kind of the message with this one was, you know, not just for kids, but it also taught parents too. You know, is a lesson that I learned too that I could incorporate in, you know, teaching my son. So it was both messages, good way around. Without giving too much away, I don't know if you, since we've been cutting in and out, I don't know how much of a way you gave away of the movie. Yeah. But basically, for me, it was kind of like a bittersweet thing because anyone that's seen the movie, you may have got the feeling that maybe this is it for Toy Story.
Right.
And for me, that's kind of an emotional because, you know, I was trying to tell my son that when I first saw Toy Story, I was my son's age.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of crazy that even now, you know, 20 years later, I'm a dad myself and I'm taking my son.
Cut out again. All right. So like I said, we definitely recommend seeing it in theaters. If he comes back, we'll let him finish his thoughts on that. We'll go to our next movie.
Wait, before we do that, I do want to point out, because Rob touched on this too, because Toy Story has been so strong for so long. And I ran into somebody recently and I mentioned that movie. And she said that she took her son to see the first Toy Story movie when he was probably 6 or 7 years old, similar to Rob's son. And they have had a tradition ever since to go see every movie together. And now he's actually going off to college. So it's been, for her, was like a bittersweet thing because it's like their last farewell almost to not just the franchise, but also to her like son's childhood. So it has been very emotional. A lot of people really connect to this series. And it's going to be kind of sad to have any more, which is kind of seems like there's not going to be any more.
Rob, you're back again, buddy.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yep, got you again.
All right. So while you still can hear me, I'm going to try to make this quick. basically, like you know, I was saying before I got cut off and what your wife was saying is I grew up watching Toy Story, you know, when I was my son's age. And so and I remember whenever Toy Story 3 first came out, I was a freshman in college and how excited I was when it came out because I've been waiting so many years for this. So it's something I feel like in a way I grew up with Woody and Buzz Lightyear and all these other things. So for me, if this was truly the last one, which I kind of got that feeling that it was, it's kind of sad. But at the same time, I think that the characters are leaving on good terms. I think Woody seemed to be happy that he's.
And we lost him again.
Technical difficulties strike again.
But it does really end on good terms. Like I said, with no. Not trying to spoil it. It is worth going to see once again. And we're going to move on to Anna now. So that movie starred.
It was Luke Evans, Sasha Luss, and I'm not sure I'm saying that name right because she's kind of a newcomer, but also Helen Mirren played a pretty significant role as well.
So you want to start off with this one?
Yeah. So, I mean, I had high hopes for this one because as obviously a woman, I want to see kick-ass women, you know, taking charge you know, people with different names. And I was going into this expecting to see another Atomic Blonde, which was an incredible movie. And turns out the best action scene, almost the only action scene really in the movie, was in the trailer, which is Jason's. I mean, like, the movie was good. Don't get me wrong. It was, I enjoyed watching it. It had a lot of, but, like, it was real slow. There was a lot of flashbacks that, you know, proved that they were tricking us the whole time, I guess. And it moved really slow in between, and it was weird and disjointed, and I don't know. It wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be, as good as I hoped it was going to be.
I agree with this. There was really only two big action scenes in this movie, and like we said, one of them, like, which in the trailer makes you believe it's at the very beginning of the movie, doesn't happen until about the middle of the movie, and you see the whole action sequence in the preview. The second action sequence, you even still see a little bit in the preview, not the whole part of it, but it's still not, I mean, the two action scenes that happen in the movie are really amazing. They're fast-paced, they're real gritty, it's, they have great choreography, but then you're stuck with these long, drawn-out, trying to do Quentin Tarantino type flashbacks or something like that. And to me, this movie almost would have been better if they just would have played it in the original order. I felt like if they just let the movie play out in the right order instead of trying to go like, oh, this thing happens, but then 6 months earlier.
Let's explain how we get to this point.
And if they just would have let the movie play out in its original sequence, I think it might have actually been a better movie.
Yeah.
I don't think the sequence cutting actually worked out in this movie, at least not for me.
Well, there's too many of them. You could have done like half of them. And okay.
Yeah. And so, like I said, there's a lot of weird, awkward sex scenes in this movie. They don't get full-on nudity, but sometimes they'll just start a scene where they're in a closet, and she's just, like, up in the air, and the dude's doing his thing. And you're just like, why even have this? You don't need this. Like, there's no point to any of this.
Yeah.
So I just, some a lot of awkwardness that didn't need to be there. And yeah, it was, I don't know, still really good. Still, I wouldn't say really good. That's wrong. It was a decent movie. If you're into spy movies, if you're into movies that do kind of play around with time sequences or are a little tricky to figure out what's really going on the whole time, this movie might be for you. But I definitely say you can wait for it to rent.
Yeah.
The two, like I said, the two big action sequences, if you have a decent TV, will play out just as well.
Yeah, for sure.
On your TV. So I really don't see any reason to go see this in the box office, which is one reason why it probably didn't do that great in the box office, at least not in the theater we were in.
Yeah,
it was pretty
empty in that theater we were in. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't mind that we watched it. Like, I enjoyed it. It was an enjoyable movie, but there were some things about it that bugged me, and so I could have just as easily waited for it to come out on like Redbox or HBO or something. So I think if you are choosing between, you know, what movie you're going to go see this weekend, Anna probably not be at the top of your
list. Rob, you there again, buddy?
Yes, I am.
You got any final words on Toy Story 4? We'll go back to that real quick just for you, Mom.
Yeah, man. Real quick, just long story short, before I get cut off again, the movie's worth seeing. Especially if you have kids, even if you don't have kids, like if you're someone like me, it's a kid at heart. Watching the movie, like I it's a perfect movie to go see. So take the friends, family, and just go enjoy a good movie. You won't regret it.
Absolutely.
Cool, Rob. Well, thanks for joining us, man. We do appreciate it. Hopefully, if you do have us back on, we can figure out why it kept cutting you off. But once again, listen to No BS. It is a great sports podcast with him and a couple other people. So give it a try if you're big into podcasts and got time to listen to them.
For sure, man. I appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Yes, anytime.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right. Thank you.
So we're going to go to our third movie now, which was Shaft. I know that came out 2 weeks ago. Once again, just kind of a time thing for us being able to actually see all these movies. And like I said, we can't preview them like other critics, professional critics can, since we're not at that level. Hopefully one day maybe we will get there, because that would be amazing. But obviously, this movie stars Samuel L. Jackson. Jesse T. Usher, has he really done anything else?
I didn't recognize him. I look it up. He might have been in a minor character and other things. I don't recognize him as a main character, though.
But he was Shaft's son, or Shaft Jr. in this one. And then Richard Roundtree, which played Shaft's father. And then Regina Hall, which played the pretty much a baby mama, Jesse T's Usher's character's mom, Shaft Jr.'s mom. All four characters I thought were actually pretty great together.
They were.
Samuel L. Jackson, of course, is Samuel L. Jackson.
yeah.
A lot of cussing.
He is who he is in every movie, and we all love it.
So, I mean, a pretty good movie. Had some cool action sequences. If you're looking for an action movie, this would probably rate as one of my top action movies right now in the theaters. I would say you could definitely see this in theaters if you want an action movie. I'd say so far, Toy Story 4 is the best movie out there. But if you're looking for action, this would definitely still be the top one on my list.
Yeah.
Unless you haven't seen John Wick 3, in which case, go see John Wick 3.
Agreed.
If you haven't seen John Wick 3 yet, that is the movie to watch.
Yeah, stop what you're doing and just go see it. Yeah, Shaft was good. It was a fun movie. It was, you know, action and, you know, Samuel L. Jackson's unique brand of drag. Jesse T. Usher was really funny, too, as sort of the millennial son of Shaft trying to get out of his father's shadow, I guess, sort of.
Kind of not having a dad, so it was kind of a mama's boy. And then all of a sudden, like, reconnecting with Shaft. So Shaft's like, why are you such a mama's boy? Well, you haven't been around, Dad. Who else raised me?
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of that, Regina Hall, who I love, you probably know her from this, Scary Movie franchise, particularly. She is hilarious. She is great. She plays, I guess, former ex-girlfriend of Shaft, mom to Shaft Jr., or they call him JJ in the movie, John Shaft Jr. She is hysterical. Just every time she is kind of haranguing and nagging at Shaft is absolutely the funniest thing in the movie, just yelling at him for being such an idiot and putting their son in danger constantly, because that's obviously what he does. She was great in it, and I love that she was in there so much.
Yeah. So like I said, this would probably be the second movie of the week to go watch. If you're not big into cartoons, I'd make it your number one movie.
Yeah.
If you want a big action movie. It was really good. Had some great funny moments, like we said. The action is really good. Nice. Couple of big shootout scenes. So yeah, it's just kind of a real comedy, funny, good action movie we highly recommend. So now we're going to move on to what we've been watching on Netflix. And this week we went actually really old school. We went with Cheers.
Yeah, so we have, or at least I do, pretty much always have something on Netflix or Hulu playing just for, you know, noise in the house. And Cheers is a great choice for that because there's a lot of seasons of it. You can, you know, watch a couple of them, you know, and move on about your day. But, you know, it holds up pretty much. Like it's not super PC, obviously, since the time period that it was made. But, you know, you got to kind of go with that anyway. But it's really funny still, even with all the very misogynistic things that they're up to in that show. But, I mean, it's still a really funny show, and it holds up the humor, I think, even today.
Yeah, I think it is still hilarious. I think some of how old it is makes it even funnier nowadays.
Yeah.
If you're not like, oh, I can't believe he did that. That's so wrong. Like, it just makes it funny. Like, you couldn't get away with some of that stuff in comedy nowadays.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think it's just great. I like the earlier seasons with Coach better, which is what we're still in.
Yeah.
I do think this season does get a little old. Seasons get a little old as Chrissy Alley and Woody Harrelson come in. They're great at first, but then it just kind of keeps playing itself over and over. And so, like, there's no character growth in this. So after about 5 or 6 seasons, the series can get a little bit old. Just because, like I said, nothing ever changes. The jokes just kind of stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, Coach is one of the best part because he's kind of the one character that you're just always kind of waiting to see what he's going to say, because it's always just so off the wall random.
Yeah,
that it's just great, in my opinion. So, yeah, like I said, it's really old. maybe some, if we have younger listeners, maybe have never heard of this. Just try it out. Watch it. It still plays good today because it's all just set in a bar. So the olden recording and stuff doesn't really hurt it at all. And I still think the comedy still holds up very good.
Yeah. A lot of really great one-liners, especially from Norm. Every time he walks into the barn, he has a different joke. And yeah, Coach is a great character. He's just a very lovable old guy who took one too many baseballs to the head. So yeah, it's a great show. I do agree that it gets slower later on once Woody Harrelson takes over for Coach. Right around the middle of the run, the actor who played Coach actually passed away. So the next season, Woody Harrelson took over. And he was a lovable character as well. But again, the jokes got kind of stale. But my favorite part of the series all the way through is actually Ree Perlman, who you might know as Matilda's mom in the movie Matilda. And more recently in the movie Palms, she was in that. But she is hysterical and violent.
That's funny because she's like my least favorite character.
Really? I find her hysterical.
I find Coach and then Cliff Clavin, who plays the male guy, probably is the two funniest people.
Well, I like it between Carla and Cliff when they're arguing.
Yeah.
That's kind of the highlight for me.
Yeah, I mean, they do have some funny arguments. Yeah. And like I said, all the actors are really great in it, and they all do bring their own little special thing to the TV show. And like I said, it's just a great all-around series.
Yeah, and you can watch the whole run on Netflix, so super easy.
Cool. So we're starting in with our dark horses now. Like I said, so mine was From Paris with Love. It is a movie starring John Travolta and Jonathan Myers. This was a little bit later in John Travolta's acting career, after his son had passed away, so he wasn't getting quite the same notoriety that he had been getting. A lot of just rumors were coming out about him and his marriage. So just a real crazy kind of time for him. After this had happened. But the movie itself is amazing, though. It's an action comedy, which is probably one of my favorite genres, is that action that kind of makes you laugh a lot. I just like silly, goofy movies. I don't expect my movies to really have real-life things in them. Like, I'm a big Fast and the Furious fan. I know a lot of the stuff in those movies can't actually happen, but when they do, I love the fact that people actually thought of it. So in this movie, Jonathan Myers' character plays a CIA agent who is a data analyst and trying to move up to become a field agent, and gets sent on a mission with John Travolta's character, who is the rogue loose cannon agent, does whatever it does to get the job done. Mm-hmm. So the whole time they're constantly kind of fighting, like Jonathan Myers' character is like, man, is this even legal? Can we be doing this? And John Travolta's like, we're doing whatever we gotta do to do what we want to get it done. And it's a great, funny movie. Super intense, and got some great action scenes. Couple little twists. They're not super hard to see, but you can. I mean, they're not. You can miss it, but it's not super hard to catch either.
Yeah.
There's not super twisty, but it
is. It's not a shocking twist.
But it is pretty cool when it happens. It's a great movie. I highly recommend it if you're into want to see an action movie, a little bit older. John Travolta's character just plays an amazing role, and when they're running all over around France and just running amok, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So
I really like the relationship between those two in that movie, because they have a very, like, odd couple type relationship, where Jonathan Rhys Meyers plays the really straight-laced, by the book, we gotta follow the protocols and do the rules and everything and blah blah blah, and then John Travolta's like, F it. We got to do this. We got to kill this guy. Just shoot him in the face. And that's always kind of a really entertaining type of relationship to watch.
Agreed. So once again, that was From Paris with Love. And then let's see, what's your dark horse movie for?
So mine is Accident Man. This was a straight to DVD movie and never made it to the theaters, I don't believe, anywhere. And it stars a relative unknown named Scott Adkins. You've probably seen him, like, if you see his face, you'd probably recognize him as sort of a minor player in a bunch of other action movies. Like, he was in Expendables and some of those types of movies, but never as, like, a title role. So Accident Man is about a hitman whose specialty is to make his assassinations
look like accidents. So it'll look like car accident or heart attack or suicide or whatever the case is. So he's very cold, calculated, and precise in what he does. And then obviously something comes into the story to, throw him off his game. And mayhem and destruction.
Woman, obviously. it's always a woman.
What else could bring the man to his knees? Once this happens, an ex-girlfriend of his ends up being threatened, just mayhem ensues. He has to destroy them all, basically, to protect her. So it's a great movie. It has really gruesome action and similar type of murders to like what happens in John Wick, where it's just kind of unexpected, and every other second you're like, oh, that's brutal. But really entertaining, really good movie. I'm shocked it was never in a theater because I loved it. It was great. So check it out. You can probably find it on Redbox or Amazon Prime, probably, for pretty inexpensive.
Cool. And last but not least, we're actually going to do some books this time around. Just like I said, just keeping all things what's up to date or whatever. So what book have you been reading?
So I'm in the middle of a book called Throne of Glass. This is a fairly new series by an author called Sarah J. Maas, spelled M-A-A-S. Might be saying that wrong. So this is a great book set in like a fantasy adventure type setting where a former assassin starts out in the book. She was captured and she's in the mine. So it starts out in the book with her being in the mine. And she gets pulled out of the mine by like the crown prince of this fictional land that she's in. And is given basically an ultimatum where she has to basically perform in a competition to become the king's champion. And the king of this land is, very tyrannical and cruel and everything. So she doesn't really want to work for him, but it's an ultimatum, so she's got to. Huh? Oh, also, should check us out on Facebook. I'll share all of this on our Facebook page. You can find us at Real Time Movie Reviews on Facebook, and we'll share all this stuff on there as well.
I do believe we got one comment last time. Do we have any more than the one comment? Do you want to look that up real quick?
Oh, no, we just had the one. We were asked by one of our listeners. We were talking about zombie movies in our last episode, and we were asked, since The Dead Don't Die was not one of our favorite zombie movies, what are our favorite zombie movies? So what's your favorite zombie movie, babe?
I went with my favorite zombie movie, now I gotta think of it, is
Zombieland.
Yes, thanks, my wife can read my mind. So my favorite zombie movie probably of all time right now is Zombieland. It's hysterical. It's still got that zombie rush action to it that you're like, oh, is people, who's going to die? Who's going to make it? Bill Murray has a cut scene in this one, which was way better. He's hilarious. He just plays himself in this movie, and it's hilarious. It stars Woody Harrelson and
Jesse Eisenberg.
And do you remember the woman's name? Another... a couple other great characters. Sorry if you listen to our podcast and we can't remember your name. I apologize. Should have a little bit better homework. I doubt she'll never listen to our podcast. Emma Stone. I doubt Emma Stone will ever listen to our podcast. But if you do, sorry, Emma Stone, that I could not think of your name off the top of my head, because you are a great actress.
Yeah. We love you.
But it is a great movie. Hilarious. For action, I got to go with World War Z starring Brad Pitt. That was a great, very intense, constantly like, yep. Man, zombies. I mean, in this movie, zombies are running like 20 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So it gets like super frantic really quick in times. And I really enjoyed that. Also in the part, I won't really ruin it, but when they're going to, at the very beginning of the movie, almost when he's trying to figure out the ground zero and the scientist just... Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
It's like, you're just like, how did that just happen? That's crazy. But he's with another scientist, and yep, it's great.
We try really hard not to do spoilers, because some people really hate that. But I feel like with zombie movies, there's two distinct categories. There's serious zombie movies where there is like real action and like real peril for people. And for that, you have to go with something like Resident Evil or World War Z. Or you can go old school and do Night of the Living Dead, which is still a fantastic movie that completely holds up. But if you're someone like me who likes their zombies with a little bit of camp and humor, you can't go wrong with the Evil Dead series, Evil Dead 1 and 2, followed by Army of Darkness with Bruce Campbell. Great movies, very funny, very campy and weird. Really good, very self-aware of how ridiculous the idea of zombies are. So I like that as well. Also, I like Zombieland a lot. So, I mean, it really depends on what kind of mood you're in, I think, for the zombie movie you want to watch.
Cool. Well, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for everybody that listened last week. We do really appreciate it. Like I said, we're just doing this for fun, and we hope that y'all enjoy it and get to have some fun with it as well. Like I said, leave your comments or questions on Facebook. We'll try to read them out during our next podcast as well. Not a lot of great movies are coming out. What are we trying to see? The one about the Beatles songs.
Yeah, so Yesterday comes out next week.
And that is basically a movie where somehow everybody forgets that the Beatles ever existed, except for this one guy, and he becomes famous for their songs. I think it's going to be a pretty predictable movie.
Yeah, probably.
But it'd still be probably fun. And then what else? Was there anything else?
And then Annabelle Comes Home. So if you're a horror fan, that's going to be your movie.
We're not super big into horror, so we may not watch that. We may just have one movie to preview next week.
Yeah, we'll see how it works out.
But yeah, once again, we don't really do horror movies too much. So, like I said, thanks for listening again. We hope you enjoyed it. Like I said, hit us up on our Facebook page. And hopefully y'all have a great week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Bye.